Iran slams, quote, inaction of the UN and the IAEA in dealing with terrorist attacks against its nuclear facilities and nuclear scientists. France denounces the United States' lack of consultation over a submarine pact with Australia after the EU blamed Washington for ignoring the Canberra-Paris deal. Also, Nigeria says cholera has taken over 2,300 lives and affected thousands more in the country since it started this year. Thank you for joining us. Beginning with our top story, Iran has called on the International Atomic Energy Agency to refrain from making politically motivated decisions.
Iran has always cooperated with the IAEA. The agency, in return, should avoid making politically motivated decisions, remain impartial and independent, and also maintain its professional conduct.
Mohammad Islami was addressing the IAEA 65th General Conference. The head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran met with IAEA Chief Rafael Grossi and slammed Israel's call terrorist attacks against his country's nuclear sites and the assassination of Iranian nuclear scientists. Islami denounced the inaction of the United Nations and the IAEA on such measures. Further in his remarks, the official touched on the sanctions the U.S. reimposed on Iran following Washington's unilateral pullout from the 2015 nuclear deal. Islami demanded that Washington remove the bans in a verifiable manner.
It is time the United States rectified its wrong policies and removed all sanctions in action and in an efficient and verifiable manner.
The Iranian official said the U.S. has no way but to abandon its, quote, addiction to sanctions. Islami highlighted the failure of the so-called maximum pressure campaign Washington launched against Iran following its 2018 withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal. He said Tehran seeks result-oriented talks with the aim of removing unfair sanctions. Iran has held several rounds of talks with the remaining parties to the nuclear deal to revive it and pave the way for the removal of U.S. sanctions. But the negotiations remain stalled due to what Tehran calls the excessive demands of Washington and its allies. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says it has destroyed four bases of anti-Iran terror groups operating across the border in northern Iraq. An IRGC commander said the operation was carried out using combat drones and smart artillery shells. The commander added that anti-Iran groups have been organized and backed by hostile and foreign countries, even some Arab nations in northern Iraq. The IRGC has conducted a series of raids against Iraq-based terrorists over the past 2 weeks. The new operation comes shortly after the chief of staff of Iran's armed forces warned of tough actions if terrorists continue their attacks on Iranians. Iraq's northern region has been used for a long time by terror outfits such as the Kurdistan Workers' Party and its offshoot, Pejak, to launch sporadic attacks on Iran's western border areas. Muslims are descending on the Iraqi holy city of Karbala ahead of the Day of Arba'in. The pilgrims are marching on the shrine city to join the annual gathering that marks the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. The occasion this year falls on September the 28th. The Iraqi government has restricted the number of foreign visitors due to the coronavirus pandemic. Imam Hussein and dozens of his companions were martyred in an unequal battle with troops of the tyrant ruler of the time over 13 centuries ago. The battle known as the Ashura event is one of the most important religious occasions marked by Muslims. Most of Lebanese lawmakers have given a vote of confidence to the new cabinet led by Prime Minister Najib Mikati. As observers say, given the economic collapse of Lebanon, The new cabinet's job will not be an easy one. Mariam Saleh reports.
A lengthy parliamentary session was held in Beirut to discuss the cabinet manifesto and give the Miqati cabinet a vote of confidence. The session began with an address by the prime minister, who briefed the members of parliament on the most significant issues which will be dealt with.
The socio-economic challenges should be among our top priorities. The government has no way but to put its focus on reforms to pave the way for uplifting the economy, developing the productive sectors, and attracting foreign investment. In addition to these files, we need to have an independent judicial body.
Prime Minister stressed that his cabinet will directly begin negotiations with the International Monetary Fund, and its main objective will include the general reforms and a restructuring of the banking sector. In light of Lebanon's current dire economic descent, the majority of Lebanese lawmakers decided to give a confidence vote to a cabinet which considers itself in a state of relief efforts.
We want to give Lebanon a chance to recover and to stop the collapse that is happening, the free fall that is happening, actually. And this is why we're giving it a chance, actually, based on also a program that we discussed with the Prime Minister and that included a lot of the requirements and the requests we have put in it.
Miqati's 24-member cabinet is also expected to offer solutions to shortages of medicine and fuel and to launch a social welfare card as a compensation for the local currency's lost value.
The government is expected to address all of these problems together, but they have to prioritize the problems. The Lebanese now, the mere Lebanese, the lay Lebanese, and the majority of the Lebanese are not capable of meeting their basic needs in order to survive. So we pin the hopes on the government to be able to prioritize the needs of the people and to address the most important. When we talk about the most important, we talk about the financial crisis, we talk about correcting the level of the wages for the Lebanese, and even to give a compensation so they can meet their basic needs.
The Miqati cabinet has vowed to prepare for parliamentary elections and hold them on time in May of 2022.
The Miqati cabinet has stressed in its manifesto that now is the time for action and not words. The lawmakers, for their part, have considered that this government and all future cabinets must work on rebuilding the economy instead of relying on grants and loans. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
The European Union has sided with France in a row over Australia's ditching a multi-billion-dollar submarine deal with Paris in favor of an alternative pact with the U.S. and the U.K. European Council Chief Charles Michel accused Washington of a, quote, lack of loyalty, saying allies needed to be sure of transparency and trust. Michel said the move would reinforce European efforts to build their own defense capacity. Separately, the president of the European Commission said the treatment France received is unacceptable. She said there are a lot of open questions on the secret pact Australia made with Britain and the U.S. before scrapping the deal with France. The European Commission says trade talks between the EU and Australia might be derailed by the diplomatic crisis between Paris and Canberra.
The issue centers around a contract signed 5 years ago worth up to 50 billion euro for France to build 12 submarines for Australia. Out of the blue, Paris found out a few days ago that the deal is off. France is furious, and so too is the EU. Talks on a new trade deal between the 27-nation bloc and Australia took place in June and were due to resume in October. We're told that's now in doubt.
We are analysing the impact of the AUKUS announcement and what this impact could be on this schedule.
AUKUS is a new security deal signed between the US, Britain and Australia. It means France's submarines are no longer required. The country's foreign minister, Jean-Yves Le Drian, says it's a stab in the back from allies.
There will be consequences. Consequences, of course, for the French relationship with the US, with Australia, with the UK, but that also implies there will be consequences for the relationship between the EU and these countries.
Senior EU ministers will discuss their response to the diplomatic crisis in the early hours of Tuesday morning, Brussels time.
There will be a meeting of EU 27 foreign ministers chaired by HMVP Borrell in New York on the margins of the UN General Assembly.
Paris has already withdrawn its ambassadors from Washington and Canberra. The AUKUS nuclear submarines will use the latest undersea technologies in the South China Sea. Beijing says the move smacks of Cold War mentality. North Korea warns it could trigger a nuclear arms race. Political analysts are suggesting Australia and Britain need to be very circumspect when dealing with the US. They point to all the international agreements Trump pulled the plug on. Also, Biden indicated he would rejoin the Iran nuclear deal. That still hasn't happened. And look at the impact of US unilateral decisions with respect to Afghanistan. Many are asking, can Washington really be trusted? Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
A senior Nigerian health official says the cholera outbreak in the African country has claimed over 2,300 lives and infected thousands more since the start of this year. The official from Nigeria's Center for Disease Control also reported some 70,000 suspected cholera cases, with 19 northern Nigerian states accounting for 98% of infections. He added children aged 5 to 14 are more vulnerable to the disease. Dilapidated infrastructure and underinvestment have been cited as reasons for a high rate of waterborne diseases. According to health sector sources, Nigeria has experienced a higher fatality rate from cholera compared to the previous 4 years. Other than cholera, the country is also battling with the coronavirus outbreak that has claimed over 2,600 lives and infected more than 200,000 others so far. The Mexican president calls on his U.S. counterpart to act immediately to invest in Central America to stem the flow of migrants.
If this action were applied immediately in Guatemala, Honduras, and Salvador, 90,000 people could be kept in their countries of origin of all those who emigrate due to lack of work.
Obrador further said that the migration phenomenon must be addressed with a completely new approach. He warned that the use of containment measures is not enough to deal with migrants. His remarks followed reports that migrants were being whipped along the U.S.-Mexico border. The migrants were apparently Haitians and were seeking asylum in the United States when they were encountered by Texas Border Patrol. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said the use of whips against migrants was unacceptable.
There are photographs and reports of border agents on horseback using what appear to be whips on Haitian migrants. Does the administration view that as an appropriate tactic? Can you speak to that? There are people who are upset about it.
Yeah, understandably so. I have seen some of the footage. I don't have the full context. I can't imagine what context would make that appropriate, but I don't have additional details. And certainly, I don't have additional context. April, I don't think anyone seeing that footage would think it was acceptable or appropriate.
Psaki, however, declined to say what consequences there should be for the actions of Border Patrol. She said the images were, quote, horrible to watch, but added more information was needed before she could comment further. Thousands of migrants, majority of them from Haiti, have arrived at the U.S.-Mexico border, fleeing natural disasters and political unrest in their countries. Most of them live in a squalid encampment under an overpass bridge in Del Rio, Texas. U.S. officials started to deport the migrants on Saturday, a move that has been criticized by immigrant advocacy groups and some Democrats. Political commentator John Parker says the treatment of Haitian migrants by the U.S. Border Patrol is reminiscent of the country's dark history of slavery. Listen.
It's just unimaginable. I don't know of any time when I've seen there's been so many horrible things done against immigrants by the United States Border Patrol, including murder and things like that. But this, the whipping, I've never seen that being done. And I don't think it's any accident that these are very dark-skinned black people that are being whipped. And it really makes you think about the history of slavery in this country. This is a huge human rights crisis that's going on. And these are people that are not doing anything basically illegal. They're under Title 14, they're supposed to be allowed to seek asylum when their lives are being threatened. And unfortunately, the Donald Trump, the racist Trump, denied them the right to use that Title 14. And Biden came into office, and instead of, which he said he was going to do, instead of overturning that and allowing the human rights of the people seeking asylum to happen, he's continued it. And it's under his administration right. That these border patrol people are using whips. He ought to be ashamed of himself.
U.S. stocks have tumbled again amid investors' worries that troubles in China's property market could trigger a broader sell-off across all financial markets. At the end of trading on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell nearly 2%, which was its steepest loss since July. The broad-based S&P 500 and the Nasdaq Composite also slid at similar pace on Monday, recording their largest one-day decline since May. The plunge was largely linked to Asian markets, where Hong Kong stock fell up to 19% amid default fears. The fall in shares of China's second biggest developer, Evergrande, dragged the Hang Seng Index down to its lowest point for nearly a year. The Russian president says the high voter turnout in recent parliamentary polls means the people are feeling a greater responsibility toward electing their representatives.
The turnout was more than 51%. This is much more than some 47 on the previous election. It shows that people take seriously the formation of the highest representative agency of state power, of the state Duma.
Putin was responding to opposition parties' allegations of a large-scale vote rigging during a virtual meeting with Ella Pamphilova, the head of Russia's election commission. Pamphilova, for her part, said the commission recorded a high number of cyber attacks during the 3 days of voting. She, however, hailed the Russian electoral system as one of the most transparent in the world. Near final results show the ruling United Russia Party has won the election with nearly 50% of the ballots. Its nearest rival, the Communist Party, secured less than 19% of the votes. That's your world news for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Limelight. France's historic decision to recall its ambassadors to the United States and Australia is far more than a diplomatic spat, analysts have warned. The move in protest at Canberra's surprise decision to cancel an order for French-built submarines and its security pact with Washington and London will affect France and Europe's role in NATO and already strained relations with the United Kingdom. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Kim Wilshire. The piece is titled AUKUS, France's ambassador recall is tip of the iceberg, says analysts. France's historic decision to recall its ambassadors to the United States and Australia is far more than a diplomatic spat, analysts have warned. The move in protest at Canberra's surprise decision to cancel an order for French-built submarines and its security pact with Washington and London will affect France and Europe's role in NATO and already strained relations with the United Kingdom. French officials have accused Australia, the United States, and the United Kingdom of behaving in an underhand, duplicitous manner that has betrayed and humiliated France. A visibly angry Jean-Yves Le Drian, the French foreign minister, accused the Americans and Australians of lies and duplicity over the AUKUS deal. And he warned, it's not finished. Jean-Yves Le Drian said Australia had told France that it was breaking the submarine contract and making a new deal with the United States and the United Kingdom just 1 hour before Scott Morrison, the Australian Prime Minister, announced it at a press conference. That is why I say there has been duplicity, contempt and lies. And when you have an ally of the stature of France, you don't treat them like that, Le Drian said. Asked if there had been a failure of French intelligence in uncovering the secret deal, he replied, the agreement project initiated by the United States and Australia was decided by a small group, and I'm not sure US and Australian ministers knew about it. When we see the US president with the Australian Prime Minister announce a new agreement with Boris Johnson, the breach of trust is profound. In a real alliance, you talk to each other. You don't hide things, you respect the other party, and that is why this is a real crisis. French Foreign Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian rejected suggestions that France was isolated within the European Union in its response to the AUKUS deal. The Foreign Minister said, I don't believe we're alone in this affair. It's not finished. Asked why France had not recalled its ambassador to the United Kingdom, Le Drian went on to say Britain's role was opportunistic and described the country as the fifth wheel of the wagon. The UK accompanied this operation opportunistically, a French diplomat source told the Reuters news agency. We do not need to consult in Paris with our ambassador to know what to think and what conclusions to draw from it. This is far more than just a diplomatic spat. The withdrawal of ambassadors is the tip of the iceberg, Peter Ricketts, a former permanent undersecretary at the Foreign Office and former British ambassador to France, told the BBC. There is a deep sense of betrayal in France because this wasn't just an arms contract. This was France setting up a strategic partnership with Australia, and the Australians have now thrown that away and negotiated behind the backs of France with two NATO allies, the US and Britain, to replace it with a completely different contract. For the French, this looks like a complete failure of trust between allies and calls into doubt what is NATO for. This puts a big rift down the middle of the NATO alliance. Britain needs a functioning NATO alliance. Peter Ricketts added, I think people underestimated the impact that this would have in France and how this would seem as a humiliation and a betrayal in a year that President Macron is running for re-election in a very tight race with the far right. The historic order to recall France's ambassadors came directly from President Macron. A spokesperson for the Élysée Palace said, the seriousness of the situation required the president's response. Beyond the question of the breach of a contract and its consequences, particularly in terms of jobs, there is what this decision says about the alliance strategy. Such behavior is unacceptable between allies, the Élysée Palace said. The French are furious at Australia's decision to cancel a $90 billion Australian dollar contract, £48 billion contract, that it signed with the French company Naval Group in 2016 for a fleet of 12 state-of-the-art attack-class submarines. That deal became bogged down in cost overruns, delays, and design changes. Naval Group said the new deal that will see Canberra acquire nuclear-powered submarines built by the United States and Britain instead of those from France was a great disappointment. Jean-Yves Le Drian had already described the trilateral AUKUS security pact, including the submarine deal, as a stab in the back for France. The abandoning of the Ocean-class submarine project that linked Australia and France since 2016 and the announcement of a new partnership with the United States to launch studies on possible future cooperation on nuclear-powered submarines constitute unacceptable behavior between allies and partners, the consequences of which affect the very conception we have of our alliances, our partnerships, and the importance of the Indo-Pacific region for Europe, he added. France is also furious at what it sees as the dishonesty of statements coming out of Australia, whose Prime Minister Scott Morrison said Canberra wanted nuclear submarines with more autonomy and more discreet than the conventional submarines that France proposed. France says it altered the design of its nuclear submarines to diesel because that is what Australia wanted and ordered. In terms of the Indo-Pacific partnership, France is a natural ally for Australia as it has overseas territories, home to more than 1.6 million French citizens in the region. Paris also has a significant military presence in that region, with 8,000 soldiers and dozens of ships, including nuclear submarines, positioned in several bases. Nathalie Goulet, an opposition member and vice president of the French Senate's Foreign Affairs, Defense and Armed Forces Commission, said the situation was very disturbing. Someone should have warned before this breach of contract. I don't understand this could have happened overnight, she said. It's a failure for industry, intelligence and communication, and a public humiliation. And nobody likes to be humiliated, even the French. It is the first time France has recalled a US ambassador. The two countries have been allies since the U.S. War of Independence. France also cancelled a gala due to be held on Friday, 17th of September, to commemorate the anniversary of the Battle of Chesapeake Bay, a decisive event in the war which ended with the French fleet's victory over the British on 5th of September, 1781. A White House official told the Reuters news agency that the U.S. regretted the French decision and said Washington had been in close touch with Paris. The official said the U.S. would be engaged in the coming days to resolve differences between the two countries. The Australian Foreign Minister, Maryse Payne, in Washington said she understood the disappointment in Paris and hoped to work with France to ensure it understands the value we place on the bilateral relationship and the work that we want to continue to do together.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends. Let us now ponder a wonderful aphorism from Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, the seventh infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The best kind of almsgiving is to help the weak. Thank you.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is your host Musa Al-Bahadri coming to you with the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and guest speaker Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Today's topic is about the importance and virtues of the day of Friday in Islam, because we know it is a sacred day. Some even call it the minor Eid, the minor celebration that we have every single week, basically. So why is it so important, and how important actually is it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For this question, we are not able to bring intellectual arguments. For such questions, we need to refer to our holy book, the Noble Book of Quran, and the narrations of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And after studying about these verses and narrations, we can come to this conclusion that the day of Friday is a very holy day for all the Muslims. In the Noble Book of Quran, we know that a chapter has been named after this day, the Surah Al-Jumu'ah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Friday prayer, which is one of the important aspects and deeds that should be done. And I mean, people are encouraged to perform that on Fridays. And then when we refer to the narrations, we see that there are many emphases on the importance of this very day. Let me share some of these narrations so we can have a better understanding of the importance of Friday as mentioned by the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt.
Please do, dear Sheikh.
Our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family in one narration calls the Yawm al-Jum'ah, Friday, as the Sayyidul Ayyam, the best day of all the days. And we know that we have, as you mentioned, some Eid, some days of Eid and feast, and Yawm al-Jum'ah is one of them. And according to one narration, the Holy Prophet calls it even better than the Eid of Adha and Eid of Fitr, according to this narration. This has been mentioned in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 89, page 267.
Right.
Some narrations tell us that doing good actions on Friday is highly recommended compared to other days of the week. Sometimes I put it in this way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for excuse to forgive the people. He has told all the people that every day you have five daily prayers. Through that, you can come back to me and repent from your sins and talk to me. If not that, every week I have, given you a chance to come back to me, and that is the day of Friday. It is another occasion, an opportunity for Muslims to do some good actions, but be rewarded more compared to the other days of the week. So, and then we have other occasions from time to time. We know that we have the Layali of Qadr, we have the Day of Arafah. So these are times in such a world that we are highly engaged in worldly affairs. We need to have these occasions from time to time. Maybe saying the prayer have become a kind of habit for us, and we are not feeling that we are talking to God.
No, unfortunately.
But maybe at least on a weekly basis, we can look at Friday from a different perspective if we pay attention to such narrations.
Right.
So, for example, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says that if you want to pay charity before Friday, just delay it to the day of Friday. So
to that extent.
Yeah. So that you would be, rewarded more. And we know that one of the punishments in the grave is daqatul qabr, the pressure in the grave. According to some narrations, if Muslims, they pass away on Friday or the day before Friday, then adabul qabr would be removed from them. Again, it's not the only criterion, of course. Should meet other criteria as well.
But the perfect Muslim being, most exemplary Muslim.
Exactly. So this is another point referring to the importance of Yawm al-Jum'ah. Another interesting narration is from, again, our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, as mentioned in Al-Kafi, volume 1, page 40. The Holy Prophet says, "Often لِرَجُلٍ لَا يُفَرِّغُ نَفْسَهُ فِي كُلِّ جُمْعَةٍ لَأَمْرِ دِينِهِ." This is very somehow threatening narration.
Right.
Will be among the people who do not make their time free on every Friday so that they come and to do something about their religion.
So this signifies how important Friday is. That even don't work on Friday, don't work on your worldly pleasures. Just work for yourself,
and
for your religion.
And not sleep too much on Friday.
Right.
La yufarrigu, he should make a kind of a free time, but not for a sleep or... of course, a holiday in many Muslim countries is there for Muslim also for refreshment, but there should be a time, as the Holy Prophet puts it, لِأَمْرِ دِينِهِ فَيَتَعَهَدَهُ وَيَسْأَلْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. People should have enough time to somehow renew their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Through worship, of course.
Through worship, and also through increasing their knowledge, يسأل عن دينه, to ask people of knowledge about their religious
listening to a lecture, for example,
maybe
on the TV, lecture, or reading
yeah.
a book.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
The other point referring to the importance of Friday, it is mainly addressing the fathers or the husbands that اطرفوا أهليكم كل يوم كل يوم الجمعة به شيئا من الفاكهة واللح حتى يفرحوا بالجمعة. This is a very interesting narration. So the father and the husband, they need to make Friday a special day for the kids and for the wives.
They need to mark it.
So that they wait for Friday.
Right.
And how the Holy Prophet says that, like, on that very day you may buy a special type of fruit or meat. Of course, it is different from one culture to another culture.
Exactly.
In one culture,
candy mostly.
Yeah,
Friday.
Candy,
yes.
So we need to make Friday a very special day. And we have some actions which are highly recommended to be done on Friday. The most important is Friday prayer. There are many aspects to it, like the philosophy, like the social aspect and the political aspect.
Right.
And also we have the major ablution, the ghusl of Jum'ah. There are many narrations about its importance. Sometimes people get astonished why we have so many narrations about one very act.
Right.
We do not know about the, maybe how great is the reward for this
and
one.
And also
action.
So specific, if you miss the first opportunity, you have another opportunity,
yeah.
and they could also do it the following
exactly.
day as well.
Yeah,
that's how important it is.
And there are some stories about some of the martyrs who used to do that, on a weekly basis. And I've heard a story about one martyr, an Iranian martyr of the 8-year imposed war, and later his body was discovered for some reasons, and the body was intact after so many years, and some believe that it was because of his habit that he had, and it's been mentioned in some of the narrations. Anyway, so ghusl al-jum'ah, the major ablution, is another highly recommended salawat on Prophet and his family members is highly recommended. The Holy Prophet says, أَكْتَرُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ Stand peace and salawat upon me on the day of Friday, because إِنَّهُ يَوْمٌ تُضَاعَفُ فِيهِ الْأَعْمَالِ On the day of Friday, the reward for your actions will be maybe double or even more. Also, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, الخير والشر يضاعف يوم الجمعة. Now this narration has a new lesson. The fact that both goodness and evil are doubled on the day of Friday. Maybe it is referring to the fact that for the sins, the punishment of committing sins on Friday may be more than the same deeds done on other days
because
of the week.
Because of how holy this
it's
day
It's a holy day,
is.
Yeah.
Right.
And regarding ghusl al-jum'ah, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, "La tada'i al-ghusl yawm al-jum'ah." Do not leave doing ghusl on the day of Friday. فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ It is a part of the tradition and sunnah of the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that, "Inna Allah akhtara min kulli shay'in shay'an." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen something from everything. And from the ayam, from the days, he has chosen Yawm al-Jum'ah, the Friday. So
right.
These are some of the narrations about the importance of this day. And for that, we know that, alhamdulillah, many Muslims, they pay more attention to this day. Many Muslims, they take part in the Friday prayer. There are also other aspects to it. For us as Muslims, and especially the Shia, and one of them is the fact that according to the narrations, it is a special day for Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, you have a kind of supplication for the Prophet Fatimatul Zahra Salamun alayha and all the Imams on a daily basis.
Right.
When it comes to Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, his special day is Friday. There are many narrations according to which Imam Mahdi alayhi salam's reappearance will be on Friday, and that is why the Shia, is a custom for the Shia to recite Dua al-Nutba on Fridays, and they wait for him on Fridays. And let me also refer to the fact that Laylatul Jum'ah is also very important and significant according to the narrations, the night before Friday. According to some narrations, its value and merits is like those of the day of Friday. It is the day, it is the night in which the angels, they come to the earth. According to some narrations, our deeds are exposed to the Imam of the time or even to the Prophet on this very night. This is the night for the happiness of the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt. There are special deeds, recommended deeds to be done on this very night. Like repentance, again, it doesn't mean that we are not allowed to do it on any other day. No, it's a very special time to.
It's even better to do it on
exactly.
Friday.
Also, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your needs. There are some special prayers. People are highly recommended to recite certain chapters of the Quran. And also sending salawat upon the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. Alhamdulillah, in Mafatih al-Jinan, there is a section talking about the both Laylatul Jum'ah, the night before Friday, and also Yawmul Jum'ah.
Huge section, by the way.
Yeah, of course. And our dear listeners can refer to this great book and find the recommended actions that can be done on these two occasions.
Dear Sheikh, we thank you for this explanation of the importance of the day of Friday, and we thank you for this various and insightful knowledge you gave us. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in, and also for the one who asked this very good question. Yet again, this has been your host Musa Al-Bahadiri coming to you from your program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting to you from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for listening.
لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لنا شميحا
The Light
Iceland is not unfamiliar with volcanoes, but one that has gone on for more than 6 months is surprising even for the volcanic Scandinavian nation. Hot lava has been spewing out of craters near Iceland's capital Reykjavik since March 19th. Scientists say there is no sign that the eruptions will end anytime soon. Almost 143 million cubic meters of lava has been discharged so far, creating spectacular scenes. More than 300,000 people have visited the site of the eruptions. The field has been named the Beautiful Valley of Lava.
Visitors and keepers of a zoo in the Peruvian capital Lima are thrilled over the birth of 8 baby penguins from the vulnerable Humboldt species. Zookeepers say the chicks were hatched in July and they're expecting 6 more additions later in October. Currently, the newborns spend their days resting in their nests and being fed by their parents. The Huachipa Zoo currently has 42 Humboldt penguins and is working on recovering the species population.
We have 8 2-month-old chicks and 6 eggs. In 42 days, those eggs will hatch and the chicks will come out. The important thing about humpbald penguins is that we are recovering their population because they are in a vulnerable state. We are increasing their populations with the breeding we are doing in the zoo.
Researchers say a maximum of less than 10,000 humpbald penguins are left in the wild, with their population size undergoing extreme fluctuations. The species face emerging threats from agricultural activities to their own vulnerability to predators. The humpbald penguins are only found along the Pacific coast of Chile and Peru and are enlisted as threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
A passionate Indian teacher has turned a road into a classroom and houses walls into blackboards to make up for the prolonged school shutdown caused by COVID-19. Deep Narayan Nayak is working with nearly 60 students in a small tribal village in the eastern state of West Bengal. He started to teach students, most of whom are first-generation learners, last year, when all local schools closed under lockdown restrictions. Nayak says that he was worried about his students' education since many of them did not have access to smartphones or internet connection. But thanks to his initiative, his students can learn everything from popular nursery rhymes to the importance of masks.
We are teaching children everything, how to maintain social distancing, how to wear a mask, what is the importance of masks and hand washing. The children came forward and participated in this initiative, and they are also educating others.
The parents and villagers are grateful to Nayak, saying that they are happy their children are no longer wasting their time loitering around in the village. Nayak is now popularly known as the teacher of the street among the villagers. Water scarcity is a significant and accelerating problem for people worldwide. A UK-based charity, WaterAid, has installed life-size ice sculptures in London to show the fragility of water and the threat posed by climate change.
Climate change is water change, so it means that droughts will get longer, which means that previous reliable sources of water just won't be there. It means that flooding, sometimes in the same country, becomes very severe, polluting water sources and destroying infrastructure. But it also means unpredictability. Water sources that people have relied on for generations, for farming as well as for their health and hygiene, are just no longer there.
Farr, a policy analyst for WaterAid, said people with no access to clean water are bearing the brunt of climate change. The sculptures opposite Tower Bridge are part of the charity's fight, which calls on the British government to increase funding for climate adaptation. The sculptures show how clean water is essential for human survival, with some being depicted carrying buckets and pots in search of water. The environmental group wanted to highlight the threat climate change poses to our planet.
Egyptian archaeologists have completed the renovation of a tomb of an ancient king, providing a rare glimpse into the world's oldest known pyramid. The 4,700-year-old Step Pyramid was built during the reign of King Djoser. The southern tomb is the second for the king, and it is smaller compared to royal tombs. Some researchers suggest it was built for the preservation of Djoser's internal organs, while others say it was built symbolically. It had been undergoing renovation for 15 years before being reopened to the public.
120 tons of blocks were raised by Egyptian hands, astonishingly and with the determination to achieve one goal. That is the reconstruction of the tomb, just as it was 4,700 years ago.
The complex is historically significant as it is the earliest known example of the Egyptian custom of pharaohs being buried in pyramid-shaped tombs. According to experts, ancient Egyptians believed that this step design served as a gigantic stairway of the soul of a deceased pharaoh that could ascend to the heavens. Now, we've all grown up playing with a pinball machine at least once in our lifetime. Now, a free runner has designed a giant scaled-up pinball machine, turning it into his personal playground. Latvian free runner Paša Petkuns came up with the idea of playing on real-life pinball machines during a road trip. The set, made in London, is not for the faint-hearted, as it is slanted at a 45-degree angle. Paša thought his breakdancing experience might help, but in the end, he had to invent a whole new style of movement. The producer of the film, showing the performance on the machine, described the set as very scary.
It's 17 meters high, it's 16 meters wide, and 20 meters long. It's an angle of 45 degrees, and I don't know if you understand how much 45 degrees is. It's like, it's a double black diamond slope. It's something you don't go down, you can't, because it's more like falling than anything else.
It does sound scary. Now, the impressive set, designed to look like a retro pinball machine you might find in arcades, took 7 weeks to construct. Global landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty are featured in it. Petkuns works as a Hollywood stunt double.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. But a young Spanish designer is dedicating his time to the cause of recycling plastic waste. 28-year-old Humberto Les quit his job last year to focus full-time on his environmental efforts. He collects trash from the coast of his home island of Gran Canaria. Humberto usually picks up an average of 5 kilos from the shore at a time. After he is done compiling, he processes the material and turns it into pieces of furniture. Humberto's aim is to make the task of recycling plastic economically justifiable, that is.
I decided to leave my job, stability, to come back here to develop a project to clean the coastline by designing furniture, because I realized that the coast could not be cleaned in an altruistic manner. So I found a way to give economic value to the waste found in the coast.
Humberto is making products ranging from clothes hangers to stools, but he also wants to create larger products with a longer lifespan in the future. According to the UN Environment Programme, only 9% of all plastic waste produced throughout history has ever been reprocessed. Around 80% of it remains accumulated in dumps, landfills, or nature.
A floating concert venue has entertained music lovers in London. Renowned pianist Masayuki Tayama and his partner started the project to play on a canal boat traversing the city's waterways 2 months ago. Since then, they have performed 9 concerts, and their upcoming performances are already sold out in months ahead. The couple came up with the idea after living on a narrow boat with a digital piano.
This is the piano boat, which is the